Welcome to This Week in MTG with your hosts, Matt, Danny, Anthony, and Big G.
Hello and welcome, Magic Folk, to episode 227 of This Week in MTG, your aggregate news podcast for all things Magic the Gathering. We're your hosts. I'm Matt, over there. No Danny.
Oh, shit, Anthony's not here either.
And did he have... Oh, there is and leader of the Hive Mind. Just...
No, he doesn't get anything. Oh, he's not here.
Okay, just Anthony, not here.
Just Anthony. Yeah.
Not here.
Can't show up. Doesn't get a cool name.
No. Get wrecked, scrub, if you decide to listen to this.
He's probably listening right now. Look at that.
Oh, speak of the devil, there he is. And there's also Danny.
You know what?
The crew's all here.
Yep. Well, I mean, two of us are physically here. So what is this, Matt and Garrett show part 3, 4 in the last 2 months? It's been happening a little bit more frequently.
I think we're past a trilogy and we're in the saga territory.
Ooh, the saga of Matt and Garrett.
That's a good title.
I dig it. Title of the episode.
Does sagas continue past 4? Because it's like...
I mean, maybe right now we're at like epic territory. We're an epic. Because, you know, like we're short and there's maybe more than one of us. But then saga, maybe once we get to 5.
Okay.
Like maybe then we start calling it a saga. But right now we're just like the epic.
So what we got to do is just incapacitate those two every Monday now to get to the saga.
I mean,
and then we complete the achievements.
That shouldn't be too hard. Right. I'll send Danny a message from an anonymous phone number. Hey, can you fill in at billiards tonight?
And then, he'll get on it.
And then I'll just what's up, Crazy Mage?
Hey, Crazy Mage made it.
And then all I got to do is get a hold of enough people's phone numbers at Anthony's work, and I'll just text them going, hey, you all should leave at 3 o'clock. Y'all have something coming up.
Dun, dun, dun. Give them all a memo saying that there's a picnic outside. just something short, simple, and stuff.
If that's what you need, if that's what you need from us, Crazy Mage, I mean, we should keep our clothes on during the live stream, but...
We don't have a hot tub.
Not yet.
Is it in the budget?
I have no idea. You control the budget.
There's a budget.
Exactly.
Well, we'll work on the hot tub. Well, we're supposed to take some Bearscape pictures. Anyways, we are digressing hardcore here. Thank you guys for deciding to join us. I'd like to take a moment at the top of the episode to extend a heartfelt thank you to the dedicated listeners of the pod. We're grateful for the opportunity to bring you the latest news, updates, and discussions in the world of Magic each week. Here's to many more episodes of shared excitement in the community in the realm of Magic the Gathering. Furthermore, we'd like to express our deep appreciation to the Patreons of the podcast. Their generous monetary support directly contributes to the success and continued growth of the show. There is a budget.
Hence the reason you're in charge of the budget.
We need a hot tub now. We're directing everything to a hot tub.
Get on it, boss man.
So big thank you to Amu the Fox, Noah, Slade, Nikki, Nomad, Christian, Barra, KCB, Ricky R, Chris O, Ranger Dan, Crazy Mage, and Whack P. Thank you to each and every one of you. Now, you, dear listener, if you're being entertained by or enjoying the content that we are producing, you don't have to be a Patreon to support us. Go into the podcast app that you're using right now to rate and review us. Helps us tremendously. It raises us in those charts and recommended things for other people to find us. But one of my favorite ways is word of mouth, by telling your playgroup, your LGS rival, a cat that you meet on the street. Telling any of them about us is good enough. Now, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention our LGS sponsor, J-Dub Sports Cards and Gaming. Let's hear an ad from them now.
J-Dub Sports Cards and Gaming, located in West Acres Mall in Fargo, is your one-stop shop for all your Magic the Gathering needs. In the store, you will find a huge selection of sleeves, playmats, and dice for you to personalize your battlefield with. Along with having a large variety of singles in their display cases, there are also binders and boxes for you to browse through. That much selection means that you will always find something you are looking for. J-Dubs is also the place to gather to play a wide array of formats with friends in the community. There is Commander League on Thursday nights, Modern League on Saturday afternoons, and Legacy Leagues on Sunday afternoons. And who can forget Friday Night Magic every Friday evening? J-Dubs has it all, Amonkhet to Zendikar, and ways to sleeve, shuffle, and spell sling. Now let's get back to the episode.
Thank you, J-Dubs, for sponsoring us. Now, Matt, why don't you hit us with that breakdown?
Yeah, this is where I tell you what you're going to be hearing in this week's episode. Very short episode coming up because, you know, we're in the lull. Pre-release has happened. Not a lot of news has dropped in the time. So we have the Boggle Desk, where we're going to talk about, well, unfortunately, not any Salt and Sugar reports from Danny that he had typed up here. Going to talk about SCG Con Atlanta, some upcoming local events, and the Pro Tour Outlaws of Thunder Junction coming up, and a Magic Cruise.
Is that where we get the Bearscape in?
Is that where we're getting the Bearscape in? Are we passing up all of the other events like Amsterdam and Worlds just to go on this cruise? We'll find out when we get there.
Yeah, we will.
And then we'll play everyone's favorite game, the Contra Currency. Did you read the article or no?
I didn't.
You didn't?
I knew it was mine or Anthony's turn.
Perfect. And then we'll end the episode and y'all could go home and wait for us for another week. There's like a romantical thing. Joke in there somewhere, right? Right? Yes.
Turn me down, baby. I'll get the ASMR. All right, and then we'll see you next week when we're all done with the episode. Until then, you'll just have to sit and listen to the news of the Magic the Gathering world. Okay, I'm done. You can turn me off ASMR mode.
Like, it's going to be hard to turn off all of our listeners, though, after that.
Well, I know that's what Crazy Mage was here for, so I had to give him a little tease, a little taste. All right, so let's talk about some Salt and Sugar reports, and you know what? None of them are for me. I mean, I got some sugar. I tested out my deck for NRG.
Yeah, how did that turn out?
On Spell Table against Anthony. He was doing some Domain Zoo.
Nice. How did that turn out?
Oh, that's going to be a clusterfuck.
Yeah? Was it a stomp?
Not, like, it was kind of, from my perspective, like, I feel like it was a nice little bit, like, back and forth. Like, I didn't make any of the changes we talked about last Monday after we were done. Because I was like, okay, let's see, do I really need the changes? And I do. Like, and then, like, I didn't put the wear and tears in. I didn't do any sideboarding, and neither did he, and we just played the main boards. And honestly, like, it worked out nicely. Like, I think I got two games that I won, like two matches.
Okay.
But not rounds.
Okay.
So, one to two games I won, and like, just the deck worked beautifully. It did what it needed to do. Anthony was fucking with my shit, and it still did what it needed to do. But then all the other times is just, like, one of the times he got Scion out pretty quick. So
did he ever get the turn two Scion?
He did.
Wow.
That game was hard to get back from. So it's going to be one of those things where it's just...
That does seem very backbreaking.
Yeah, it's just going to be one of those things where we even talked about it too. It was, you know, I'm not going into this going, fuck yeah, I am placing first with this deck. I mean, yeah, I want to do good.
Of course.
End of story. But at the end of the day, I've never gone to a bigger tournament like this outside of the Fargo area. So I just want to go and do that.
And you're piloting, like, your deck.
Yeah.
Like, and the deck that you've been with for a long-ass time. How long have you been playing Allies?
So I played Allies when I was playing Standard.
Okay, in Zendikar.
Zendikar. So
it was right off the bat.
So okay. I've always played some variation of a Allies deck. But because, like, back then it was banned.
Okay.
And then for a little while during the modern times, like, you know, actual modern being a... format. I did bring back Bant Allies again for a little while, but that was using like the Turn Timber Ranger Arcane Adaptation combo.
Yep, yep.
So ally comes in, wolf comes in. Wolf is an ally, triggering all of the effects again.
Yep, yep.
So, and that deck does good. It's just a little too slow now, but it's a fun combo to run. Obviously, now I'd probably have more opportunities to give green creatures haste, but yeah, still, turn five to get that out is pretty rough.
Yeah.
So
compared to when everything else is like doing like a turn two Scion.
Yeah.
Turn
no
five is a wee bit slow there.
Yeah. But then, Casey, I swear to God, if you're trying to break my heart right now, I'm going to kill you next time I see you with the biggest bear hug in the world.
To the audio listeners, we had Casey in the chat saying, did you see the Modern Horizon 3 Allies spoilers? They look pretty good.
Don't hurt me like that, Casey.
What would you?
I already got hurt enough.
With not Lost Caverns. What was the Zendikar Rising?
With Zendikar Rising, there being one ally that wasn't even that good.
Yeah. Commander, at best.
And even then, it's just like, no, I'm good. But no, I've essentially been running an ally deck for a long time, and it's gone through changes, but, you know, I get new toys to play with, I'm going to put them in.
Yeah.
So
the core of the deck being allies
is the
thing.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that's been fun, and so, yeah, it is going to be a real cool thing to go, and it's not necessarily jank, but it's my deck, so it'll be fun to go do that. But we've got some salt and sugar from Danny here. His salt is that he should have killed Anthony when he had the chance. I feel like that's rule number one out of our pod. Kill Anthony and or Matt first. If they're both in the pod, then you got to make some decision making.
We make it tough, I guess.
Yep. And then his sugar is he got a meme win with his new Rith deck. So there's that. Anthony was playing some slivers. They're a good old time, apparently.
And Danny says that that's lies, yep. And says that slivers should be banned.
I don't know.
Slivers is an uphill battle a lot of the time. When they pop off, they pop off.
Exactly.
Garrett has been running allies as long as I've been playing Tezzerator, says Anthony in the chat.
I've been playing allies as long as I've been playing Magic. So, and then, yeah, I'm on 15 years now. Of playing
it's
Magic.
A long time.
So,
you're for how long you've been playing, your experience can now learn to drive.
Yeah, yeah.
I can now try and get a license.
It's weird. It's weird to think about things I have done in that sort of time frame, because then, like with my track athletes now, like we did like stations of intro the events, mm-hmm. So that way they got a chance to see all the events, and doing shot put. We have indoor shot puts that we were using for this, you know, these circuits. And then I was like, yeah, you don't throw these, you don't catch them at people. And then I'm sitting here and I catch one and they're like, what the heck, coach? I'm like, guys, I've been throwing longer than all of you have been alive. Like, I have known how to throw this particular item longer than any of you have been a glint in your parents' eyes. What does that mean? You weren't even a thought yet.
I can throw this better than you can walk.
Pretty much when I look at some of my athletes, but yeah. What's your thought?
Not a thought. Have you seen that thought experiment or that thought realization that people have talked about online where it's like, think of your age right now. When you were born, that age ago, so for me, I was born 93, so 31 years before 93 would be 62. And that time frame of when you were growing up, 1962, felt like the distant past. And now you got kids, so when you're like this age, like being 31 years younger, you got kids looking at you when you tell them that you were born in 93, it's the same way that you look at people saying that they were alive in like 61.
God damn it.
And that seems like such a generation gap in there.
Well, you've also seen like the things of like when they talk about if Back to the Future was made today, when the past would be.
No, I haven't. Would it be 2000?
No, it's, if I remember right, it because he goes back, Marty goes back to the 60s. He lives in the 80s.
That's only 20 years. Yeah, that would be it.
Yeah. So it'd be like late 1990s, early 2000s.
Oh, no.
Is when he goes back to the past.
Yeah.
And that's just ridiculous to think about.
Yeah. Time is fucking, it's wild to think about.
I'll have to send you some of these TikToks I run across that they're labeled thoughts that will mess with your perception of time.
it really makes you think. That whole like thinking that 1960 is like old to me, and people are probably looking at 1993 as old to them. And it's right. Like, oh my God.
It's nuts. All right, but you know what? Speaking of the past, should we talk about some SEG Con Atlanta?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. It is a modern event, so this is fun for me to look up.
Yeah, I picked it specifically. It's the last large modern event before your upcoming weekend. And
all right. So here we go. Let's go with the meta game breakdown, and then we'll talk about, or at least go over, the top four listed decks.
Yeah, I think these are like seeded positions is how it's worked. Don't quote me on that. I'm not fully sure on how Goldfish does their stuff, because I don't think Jody K won. But it's impressive.
Yeah. So Domain Zoo, which is obviously just talked about, probably one of my big contenders to go up against, came with 16 decks total and covering 12.3% of the meta. Amulet Titan having the same numbers. Indomitable Creativity, 13 decks, 10%. And then Rakdos Scam, 10 decks, 7.7% of the meta.
Creativity is interesting because I don't think we've talked about that in a long time.
We haven't talked about, like, last time I remember us for sure talking about that, like, in more depth.
It's pre-Wondering because
I think JB was still around is the time I'm thinking of.
Yeah, we're definitely talking then.
Because then I was playing my janky extra turns creativity deck and just pissing him off.
I remember.
See, look at him. He's still mad over there.
Yeah, it's hiding in the shadows under the computer there.
He's so ashamed of himself. Anyway, let's talk about some of the most played cards. So most played cards, number one, Lightning Bolt, 179 copies, 41% of the deck. The One Ring, 163 copies, 34% of the decks. That's weird. It's just the one. Yet there's seems like there's 162 too many.
Are you I'm saying these players are counterfeits?
I'm never going to let it go. Anyway, Pick Your Poison, number three spot, had 154 copies, 48% of the decks. And Regavon, Nimble Pilferer, 150 copies, 29% of the decks, which means number one creature played is Regavon. Number two is Orcish Bowmasters, 101 with 22% of the decks. Grief, number three, coming in with 96 copies, 18% of the decks. And then Solitude, 78 copies, 16% of the decks. Oh, looky, looky. We know what the top three played spells are, which was Lightning Bolt, the One Ring, and Pick Your Poison. Number four is Leyline Binding with 135 copies, 26% of the decks. Now, let's talk about these top four decks. So, Mono White
Martyr.
Mono White Martyr. I haven't really seen anything on this one before, so I'm actually going to look at it a little bit.
This is old school, modern, back in the days. The whole thing of it is primarily based on Martyr of the Sands here, which is a white. This is like very close to Danny deck. I know we talked about it prior at some point of him being like, oh, you should do the Martyr proc decks. So Martyr Sands, white, human cleric, pay one, reveal X white cards from your hand, sack it, you gain 3x X life. And so this is a whole mono white deck. You got like Thraven Inspector, Ranger Captain of Eo, Skyclave Apparition, Elish Norn,
Eagles of the North.
Is that a Lord of the Rings card?
It is.
Okay. 5W Bird Soldier enters the battlefields. Creatures you control get +1/+0 and gain first strike the lander's turn, and it has plane cycling.
Yep.
Are they just doing it for the plane cycling?
I don't know. Well, plane cycling, but then you have a white creature in your hand.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're just trying to out attrition with, like, gaining life, beating face. It got One Ring, Agatha's Soul, Cauldron, Wrath of Gods, Wind of Abandon, Reprieves. Like, this is wild.
That seems fun.
It went 6-0.
Oh, shit. Clicked the button too soon.
And this deck, tabletop, $706. And the primary cost of the deck is four subtlety. Your solitudes are 114. The One Ring is $253. So outside of that, this is a cheap deck. So those seven cards, those eight cards will cut off $300, $400 of the deck. It's wild.
I'm trying to, sorry, I'm looking on Melee to see how. So Jody must have gotten third or fourth because she was in the semis.
There we go.
So there's that. But then let's get to that number two deck, which is Domain Zoo deck, which we talked about this one now, and this one does run the companion. But other than that, it's pretty typical build for what Anthony and I were talking about when I played against it. So, I mean, you've got the Leyline of the Guild Pack, Leyline Binding. You've got all your land variations that you need. Tribal Fire, which I didn't have to run into that one too much with Anthony, but definitely not fun to play against. And then Scion of Draco being one of the bigger things. So, I mean, there's that. So there's number two that we're talking about. Mono Blue Tron. I feel like Noah would be extremely happy about hearing this.
This is intense, seeing that.
Because I believe this is, if it's not 100% the build he has, it's damn near close. But Mono Blue Tron, just instead of running green for the ramp side of things, running more blue disruption and early game type of stuff, as well as, of course, doing what Tron likes to do and getting those big fat dummies out.
You always hear, like, Mono Blue Tron is, like, the deck that people want to, like, test with. Yeah. Or that it's, like, it has things to do, but nobody just wants to play it.
Yeah, right? I don't really get it, but, I mean, as far as, like, why people don't just sit and play it, but...
I would definitely play me some Blue Tron.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit of a pricey deck, $872.
But, I mean, honestly, let's see here. What's going to be the higher point?
The One Ring.
Well, the One Ring and the Force Navigations.
Yeah.
Are going to be the highest point on that, honestly.
Yeah, that is pretty honestly. The subtleties. Subtleties are $58 for three. Jesus yep. Christ.
So, I mean, it's just one of those things where it's like, there's ways you can still do the deck and do a budget version of the deck where maybe you don't have the One Rings. You can still play the deck. Like, honestly. And the Force Negations. I mean, you can play without them.
Yeah.
Which, honestly, well, I get why they're not, but at the same time, is like, Pact of Negation. I almost wonder if that would be a good substitute in this deck.
Yeah, I think Pact is a little cheaper, too.
It is cheaper, but then the only thing is maybe not having the two blue pips would be the thing for that upkeep cost the next turn. Because, too, I mean, we talked about this when the week I did it, our buddy that used to run Amulet Titan at Modern League, having the summoners back, and there being now more land fuckery that you can fuck with your opponent's lands. You know, I Assassin's Trophied his double pip land.
Yeah.
And that made him lose the game. So, I mean, that's probably why not. That makes sense.
That'll get a lot of people for sure. But
but then the fourth deck we're going to look at, talk about, is a five-color creativity deck, which, looking over it and trying to remember everything that was really in that deck, honestly, it doesn't look like it's changed too much. Where maybe, and it's, again, this is trying to pick at things and try to remember, I would guess Reprieve would be one of the newer cards in there. So it's a white and a colorless, return target spell to its owner's hand, and then you draw a card. It's instant spell. Definitely be one of the newer ones, as well as, you know, some of the Surveil lands in there as well.
Yeah, those Surveil lands, fucking wonderful.
Right? And then I don't remember. I think it did run the Fable of the Mirror Breaker.
It did, yes. Fable of the Mirror Breaker was one of the important pieces there. Get Lost, two copies of that in the main.
I suppose that'll be the other newer card, too. Or that would be the newest one, because Lord of the Rings came out before that.
Yeah.
But other than that, it still ran the Archon of Cruelties, ran sixes, Baby Tees, and then Prismatic Ending, Lightning Bolts, Spell Pierces, Indomitable Creativity. And then a couple of the, well, runs the dwarven mines that give you the some of the tokens to get rid of for your creativity stuff. So there you go.
Yeah.
But then we can go to the results and into the finals, where it was the five color creativity deck, and it is
Anthony Davis.
Nope, it is not. That's what I was double checking. It is Nathan Shai, a couple down there for from you.
There we go. This one, the sixth one.
Yep. Went up against Bant
Tokens.
Tokens.
Mahendra Ravel. What's Bant Tokens? That's a deck that we haven't heard, probably heard in
so
a while.
So that one has four Scion of Dracos. That one has Nishiba Brawlers. Four of them. Pilferers.
What makes this a token deck? Is it just like you got a single copy of Inti? Like, where's the tokens coming from here?
Is this one of these another fucking misnomer names?
Maybe.
God damn it.
Because I'm looking here, and there's nothing in the sideboard that they could pull game two to make tokens. Breakout is a newish card. Well, newish new card from Murders of Karloff Manor. It is red, green, sorcery. Look at the top six cards of your library. You may reveal a creature from among them. If that card had mana value two or less, you may put it on the battlefield, and it gains haste till end of turn. If you didn't put the revealed card on the battlefield this way, put it in your hand, put the rest at the bottom of your library in random order. Yeah, I don't know why it's saying tokens.
There are no fucking tokens in token generation in here. You fucking misnomer names. God damn it.
Some people being cheeky there.
There are some people. But there we go. Breakdown of the most recent larger modern event. Obviously, hopefully next Monday we're talking about NRG.
Agreed.
Who knows? Maybe we'll see my name.
Be up there in the top 32, baby.
That's what I'm aiming for. Let's do
is
it.
Is top 32 the goal?
Honestly, I told Anthony this. My goal is every single round I play, I want someone having to read my cards.
There you go.
That is my side quest.
Are you going to have like a little check mark every time that happens? Be like, one card.
I should.
Off there,
I should.
Two cards should, out of this game. Five.
I
cards.
Should just bring a notebook and do my scoring the old fashioned way, and then just have side quest and then check.
Yes. Yes. Please. We okay. have to see that.
I need to get a good notebook for that one. Then. So, there we go. But let's talk about some upcoming events. So we're going to run down all of our local LGS. Stuff. So Paradox being first up on this one. They do their standard showdown Tuesday night starting at 6:30. Commander night is also Tuesday, but that starts up at 5. Right now you are in the middle of Commander month, which $40 for a 5-person team, so 4 main people, 1 alternate. And you've got some games to play throughout the week. Make some achievements happen. Make some challenges no longer challenging. So in the past, they have done the double-decker challenge, which is a unique commander for each game you play. You have to play 2. So 8 different commanders need to be played in 2 games with
easy
your
peasy.
Team. And then Saturday, this last weekend, would have been the High Noon challenge. So playing with a new pre-constructed Outlaws of Thunder Junction deck.
Ha ye.
Yee-haw.
Ha ha.
Ya-ya.
Yee yee.
Yeet yeet, motherfucker. And then this coming Saturday, when hopefully I see a lot more of you down at NRG, even though I want you to support our LGSs, it is the Rainbow Challenge. So all commanders must have 3 colors in their CMC. And again, I forgot to text Rich and ask him for clarification on this, but my guess is 3 colors is the minimum. Do 4 or 5.
Yes.
What was your nose thought?
It was more of like a topical thing with Thunder Junction. Did you know that there's like a tumbleweed issue going on in the southwest United States at the moment?
Okay, this isn't you being a smart.
No, it's not me being a smartass. This is a legit news thing that it is becoming a thing.
Yeah, I've seen a couple because I think I saw one where like tumbleweeds overtook somebody's house.
Yeah. And apparently people that deal with a lot more tumbleweeds than up here in North Dakota, you know, that they make They try their best to do what you can with tumbleweeds that they
do. Do they have like tumbleweed fences like we have snow fences?
Yes, they do.
That is fucking awesome.
And one thing that they try and do is, you know, they gotta use resources to remove them, bring them to a place, and typically like burn them, because if they just try and grind them, those things like drop seeds at the thousands.
Jesus.
And stuff. And they are a very invasive species. Not native to North America, if you didn't know that. They are originally from Russia.
You know that horses aren't native?
I did know that as well.
To the U.S.? They were brought here from Europe.
Yeah.
Neither were smallpox. Anyway.
Now, that historical lesson.
This week in history.
Hey, man, I would be all down. Speaking, okay, so I've been reading a book.
Hold on. And then the final Saturday of April is the Expert Challenge, where you play a commander deck you've never played before. Now you may continue.
I've been reading a book called 1491 by Charles Mann that's talking about what the Americas looked like before Christopher Columbus here. And anthropologists and historians are starting to come to an agreement that the Native American population in the Americas was way larger than initially thought, that when Columbus got here, because of the Spanish and the Vikings that came like before Columbus and stuff, they brought disease that wiped out a lot. And the numbers that they're throwing around are like 20x what they thought. So like millions of more people in the Americas than before. It's a very interesting book. Highly recommend if anybody wants some like pre-American history, 1491 by Charles Mann. 10 out of 10 recommend.
Are you done with it?
I'm on my last three chapters right now.
I would be happily.
It's an audiobook. So when it comes to audiobooks, how do you say do you read the audiobook? You listen to the audiobook? Like when you're like, this is just a little more like pedantic kind of.
In my adult years, it has definitely been more so. I am more so just have to listen.
Okay.
Because like when I was doing mobile DJing, I would try to read books or listen to informative podcasts, not and entertaining ones too, but try to get some of that more, get things to higher elevate, you know, the brain waves and all that jazz.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would read, because that's actually how I read Ready Player One.
Highly recommend. You got Spotify, right?
Yeah.
Do you got Spotify Premium?
Yeah.
You got free. You got 25 hours of audiobooks on Spotify Premium that you can listen to, and 1491 is one of the that's free with Premium that you don't have to buy.
Fuck yeah!
So check that out. Also, we got Casey in the chat saying Guns, Germs, and Steel is a good anthropology book. I actually got that on my list that I'm going to be reading next, with God, what's it? Something of the Summer Moon was another one that was recommended to me that I'm going to be listening to. This week in audiobooks. I've been listening to like history audiobooks and stuff. Also, just like Native American history as well, which is intense. People need to fucking like pay attention to Native American history. That shit is wild and cool. Empire of the Sun and Moon. Quan Parker and the Rise and Fall of the Comanches and Other Powerful Indians.
You know what? I'm just going to quick do it while you're talking there.
Highly recommend.
Let's see here. Where would it be? Where would be a good place? Right here. This week in Book Club.
Oh, we're putting it in the Discord?
Yep.
Oh, gotcha.
Made a new channel.
There we go. Here, I thought you were adding into your Spotify there.
No, I'll do that later.
I'll be adding.
All right. We better move on before we piss Danny off.
Yes.
All right. And then at Paradox, the final event is, of course, Friday Night Magic, where at Paradox, they typically do Modern, Draft, and Commander. Commander starting up at 5 o'clock and Modern and Draft starting up at about 6:15. Now let's talk about our sponsors, J-Dub Sports Cards and Gaming. They also do their standard showdown on Tuesday night starting at 6 o'clock, but then they shift over. Their commander night is Thursday at 6. They have F&M, which is typically commander and standard, starting up at... Why am I blanking? There it is, 6 o'clock, or sorry, 6:30. And then Saturdays, typically starting at noon, unless other events come up, is Modern League. And then Sundays, typically starting at noon, unless other events come up, is Legacy League. And then Ultima Gaming, our friends over in DL, they've got Monday Night Oathbreaker Pod starting up at 6 o'clock. One of these days, we're going to have to shift over to a Tuesday night to record and just go have some fun. in DL.
Agreed. Highly agreed.
On a Monday night. But then they have their commander night on Wednesday starting at 6 p.m. If you happen to go there, tell our friend Amu, you say hi, and yeah. you listen to the show.
And get stomped by his 9.5 tails deck.
Yeah.
Because it slaps. True Conviction, I think not True Conviction. Whatever the name of that one enchantment that changes colors that makes the whole board state wonky. It's intense.
Jesus.
Yeah.
But then their Friday night magic is typically Commander and Pioneer starting up at 6 o'clock. Now, talking about what I am most excited for coming up this week, NRG Series down in Minneapolis. Saturday is their 10K Modern Showdown, which, let me hit refresh, has 109 players signed up.
Wow, that tripled. Because last week it was like 34.
No, last week it was more than 34.
Oh, was it more than 34?
Yeah, it was like 86.
Oh, never mind then.
Because me still being able to get at least 2 energy points was the running joke.
And now you can't.
No, I can still I can still get 2. Once we get to 130, then I am in the realm where I only get 1 series point.
No, man.
But this is a 300-player cap event, so still plenty of room. Get in there. So there's room for 191 more of you.
Good math.
To come play. So that's down in the cities. That's the Saturday portion of the event. And then Sunday, they do have a 5K Legacy trial as well. And then, I don't think they have... for those of you who care, there is a deadline... orders to be picked up for event pickup. You need to have, for like any of your cards that you need for a deck, that is Thursday night, so that's a pre-event thing for you. And then so those need to be in Thursday by 4, and then you're able to pick them up at the start of the event on Saturday or Sunday. And then Saturday, venue opens at 8 o'clock and registration closes at 8:50. The event starts at 9, where you get to do your player meeting and round one start. The number of Swiss rounds will be based off of attendance. I thought they had more stuff in here about other things happening. I don't know.
It's very possible.
I don't know. I'm really excited to go to this, so it'll be fun.
It's going to be good. I'm excited for your reporting back.
But then Spring Brawl. We'll have to have Nomad post up an update about the Spring Brawling. I know I haven't gotten any games in, but
keep the join the Discord so that we stay updated.
Yeah, I should. Oh wait, I am. All right, well that ends all of the stuff here at the Boggle Desk. It's over to Matt with the news.
Yeah, we got some news. Some news. This one kind of ties into upcoming events and stuff. We got the Pro Tour coming up in 2 weeks here. Pro Tour, it has a $500,000 prize purse for players to try and get part of. Over 200 competitors from regional champ events, the 2023 season performances, and top finishers at the previous Pro Tours, Magic Arena, and online premier play events that have invitations to this. The invitation list is online. We'll share that if you're interested in that. So playing here, you can keep going. The players that are going to the Pro Tour, Thunder Junction, it's not corresponding with a Magic Fest, Magic Con. This is the only one that's doing that. So people are just flying to, I didn't think they actually said where they're all meeting for this one, because this is an in-person one. But we have Outlaws Thunder Junction. It's going to be on the Twitch April 26th to the 28th over on twitch.tv/magic. On Friday and Saturday, 26th and 27th, the broadcast begins at 2 p.m. Eastern with 3 rounds of Outlaws of Thunder Junction draft, followed by 5 rounds of Standard. Sunday, the 28th, the top 8 playoff broadcast begins at 1 p.m. Eastern with all 4 quarterfinal matches, followed by the semi-matches, then the finals of Pro Tour Thunder Junction. While competitors begin their Friday and Saturday at 9 a.m., Pro Tour on-site broadcast begins in the day at 11 a.m., with the featured drafter to follow into round one gameplay. As we continue our Pro Tour broadcast, we'll catch up with the tournament, showing a full feature match every round and reducing downtime until we're pacing live gameplay on a short delay. Deck lists are going to be published on the event page Friday the 26th and at the beginning of round four, approximately 5 p.m. So the broadcast lineup, you're going to have Maria Bertholdi, Alias V, Riley Knight, Cedric Phillips, Marshall Sutcliffe, Manny Devani, and Corey Baumeister all there. So, yeah. Get hyped for this. I'm definitely going to probably have it in the background watching and seeing how Standard is playing. Because Dimir is one of the big decks in Standard at the moment. And I'm like, yes, all for Dimir.
You would, you sick, psychotic bastard.
Yeah. But there we go. That's how you do it. That's the Pro Tour coming up. The next big event that is happening, or the next big news that we have here, is
how Bearscape will happen with how, the recreation.
How our recreation of Bearscape will happen. Apparently, there's going to be a Magic the Gathering cruise, Oasis of the Seas, March 16th through the 22nd, 2025. In the Western Caribbean, highlights two tropical island stops, visits Jamaica, two tournament days, and casual commander. What is Magic at Sea? It's the ultimate way to play Magic the Gathering. Join players from all over the country on this unique and immersive cruise experience. Tournament and casual play opportunities available with unique prize pool rewards and an exciting itinerary. Magic at Sea is independently ran and organized by players, but supported by Wizards of the Coast. Book now and ruin your friend's vacation. Included with your ticket, a 6-night Western Caribbean cruise on one of the most amazing ships in the world, $50 onboard credit to spend as you wish, access to two Magic tournaments, an event playmat, a pack of sleeves, and a lanyard, access to unique prize support enhanced by Wizards of the Coast. So,
yeah. Oh, I already sent it to my wife.
would your wife join you on a cruise, a Magic based cruise?
So here's the thing, I think she was kidding when I brought up the Madrid MagicCon last year. She's like, we can go, you get one day to go play Magic, and then we're gonna enjoy the trip. And I was like,
that seems like a pretty good deal.
So I was like, I mean, is that how I get her to let me go? And like, all of a sudden we find the money to go on this trip, these kind of trips. Like, hey, I'm going to go play Magic in a foreign country. That's really pretty. Okay, we can go. I'm going to play Magic most of the time I'm there.
Kind of hard to see the sights. I mean, you're taking some stops here on the ship and stuff, but.
Well, she'll just sit and look at me like, if we went on a cruise, like, you know the Magic playing would be happening down in one of, like, the bottom.
The nerds are going to burn if they're on top deck.
So, the typical nerds. Like, one of the other days, it was a really nice day out, and I was just kind of quick getting some stuff ready on my Magic, in my Magic area, down in the hobby office. And she's like, it's such a nice day out, and you're sitting here in the basement. I'm like, I have sunlight right there. I'm taking 30 minutes to do what I want to do. Yes, what I want to do is on the inside. I'm outside plenty of times.
She's giving you shit for not touching grass.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
Is touching water okay?
I mean, not with the cards.
Yeah, fair. Well, shit. I was this close to getting my wife. Well, she was definitely on board for Chicago and stuff. But with her going to school, financially, we were not able to make it swing and stuff. But we were going to do a whole train trip there. I was getting it all like planned and stuff. And she was like, yeah, I'll go. And I'm like, woo! So, yeah, maybe this is something for y'all Magic players out there with a significant other that doesn't care for Magic as much as you do. Convince them to go to these bigger events and travel together.
Never mind. Cruise is off the table.
Uh-oh. Live reply from this request on Garrett's end. What's the response?
Bolt full of smelly nerds? Nope.
Say that there's seawater and there's...
I think there is a hygiene rule for this one.
And also remind her that there's probably... Nah, you're going to be in water. I don't know. Sign up for updates. Horizon Cruise Planners.
there's a hygiene rule on this one.
There is an official hygiene rule?
No, I'm just telling. Okay. And then I go, and booze.
And booze. Let's see. Prices of it. So we got the booking thing popped up here. Remember, you must be booked through Horizon Cruise Planners to participate in this event. In most cases, you can hold your room at $250 per person deposit. Each ticket includes the six-night cruise tax and fees.
You ready? Here we go. Ocean Balcony room is $1,500 per person.
Beautiful.
Inside, $1,300 per person. And that's it.
Yeah, Crazy Mage saying, assert dominance, throwing fuckers off the ship. As long as you don't do the Yu-Gi-Oh! Weevil bug guy throwing Exodia off.
Here's how I see something one going. Off the you ship. Ready this? Danny goes on this trip. Plays someone with blue. Motherfucking blue!
Danny would be the one to take it and just toss into the water. No, Danny wouldn't do that. He has too much respect for cards. He doesn't like...
For cards, yes. The person he might throw.
Yeah. Yeet them right off.
Hopefully is... His shoulder's all healed up by then.
Start exercising. Some therapy there, Danny.
Danny, get some shoulder work in, okay? You got some blue players to throw into an ocean. And no, you can't throw Matt in there.
But, I mean, I'll give you a chance if I make another cruise. Are we taking a cruise together, Danny?
This week in cruises.
Oh. For $1,300, let's just say $1,300, that's a lot. For a fucking cruise.
But that's like the whole room, and I think that includes like...
And you only get a $50 credit is what it's saying here. So you got to have your own... You get a $50 onboard credit to spend as you wish. Shit better be cheap then if that's the case.
Right? Jesus.
Like a shot is like a beer, $2. Give me a $2 beer for a $50 credit, you know? But here's me just being stingy. We got Crazy Mage saying, play an intense game where the loser throws their deck off ship. Oh, reply from the wife.
I've watched too many cruise disasters on TikTok.
Oh, womp.
Sorry, I'm being a smartass back to my wife.
Be a smartass. I'm enjoying this. What's the reply back? The smartass reply back.
Yet we have to watch all these murder mystery.
Yeah.
Docu-series.
Does she listen to Midwest Murder?
Like, I don't think she like listens to them. Right now when it comes to like her... like. She'll watch the mini series and stuff with the, like, you know, the spouse cheated on the wife and then the wife gets revenge by killing the mistress or whatever. Like, she watches those ones. It makes me fearful when I go to bed.
We've made the joke, my wife and I, that we're never going to get a divorce, that I'm just going to disappear. Because she knows how to do it. She's like, I'm not going to divorce you. You're just going to disappear. And I'm like, good to know. But
thanks.
Do you know if your wife, my wife was telling me about this one murder doc that she saw where it was a crazy story where this guy met this lady online, started dating her, and then they kind of like fell out. You know, they didn't like click and he dated another one. And then that chick got fucked up by the first chick. And there's this whole thing, like a multiple chick thing there.
Crazy Mage, it depends on the night of who falls asleep first.
Yeah.
But the downside, fearful. The downside is for her, I am a very light sleeper nowadays. I think I wake up before she does when it comes to the kid stuff.
I'm a heavy sleeper.
If I just hit my deep sleep, then she wakes up before I do, but she might have also been asleep longer.
That's why you go to bed to last and wake up first. Yes. Yes. That is what I do a lot of the time. I don't think my wife would try and kill me in my sleep. Yeah, maybe. I'm a hard sleeper. Yeah, I don't know what her plans are. She has to have them written down somewhere.
Maybe. No, if she has them written down, then it's premeditated. If she gets caught.
Matt's gone first. That's a lie, Matt. Danny knows. Danny knows that I'm a hard sleeper too.
Yeah.
That's what that is about.
I think we're all aware of that. We've now slept in a house with you.
Have you?
Yeah.
Oh, MagicCon Minneapolis. Yeah. Did I sleep that hard there?
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to think, like, what happened for the sleeping thing? Well, I know I just went to sleep.
I know this much. Between Garrett Johnson and Anthony, it sounded like two fucking bears fighting in the goddamn house. That's probably why we had all the noise complaints.
Well, I mean, the place was already old and like we were just walking and we got complaints and shit like that.
Yeah, who knows?
Side note, if you ever go to MagicCon, be very careful of what Airbnb you get. Honestly, recommend just do a hotel. Don't have to worry about cleaning up. Airbnb is such kind of like a...
That's where we came at for NRGCon, the guys I'm staying with. So.
Perfect. Well, that's it for the news that we got here. You know, cruise tickets. I guess we'll keep you updated when that happens.
I think this is an episode we're okay to go on our side tangents a little bit more. There's not as much to talk about.
And there's only two of us.
I know. Yeah. And we've been keeping each other on task pretty well.
I would say so.
Yeah. And the only reason I even brought up Danny once is I could see that he was angry.
You could sense it.
There's sense it in the way he typed. Yeah, see, look at that. He's already yelling at us. He's having Nightbot yell at us. That's what's really happening.
Well, you want to know what's really happening right now?
Let's hear it.
We are moving to the Contra Currency section.
Ooh, okay.
As we are all aware, the Contra Currency game that we play is a fun little game where we read the description from the amazing MTG Stocks article, Weekly Winners, where they talk about 3 to 5 cards moving up in price or 3 to 5 cards moving down in price, and we've made a little game out of it. We read the card, the description, the price moving, and the person answering the question has to give the reason why in a format or a deck. Format, yes, deck or a commander. And we award points from there. Half a point for getting the format, half a point for getting the deck, and then there's like a little gray area in there where other points get dealt out.
Not really dealt out. You get up to half a point for the deck.
That's a good way to put it. So, this week we have Big G coming in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Getting on the board. So let's... We'll do updates and stuff afterwards. But currently it's just Danny and I on the board for this month, for this quarter, because we do it quarterly.
Now we do.
Yeah, now we do. Kind of give a break and then accumulate points and go from there. Make it a little fun.
Yeah.
So, first up, we have Ugin's Nexus. This is a 5 colorless, 5 generic legendary artifact. If a player would begin an extra turn, that player skips that turn instead. If Ugin's Nexus would be put into a graveyard from the battlefield, instead exile it and take an extra turn after this one. This card, as of Friday, jumped up 139%, sitting at then $5. Today, Monday the 15th, Ugin's Nexus is at an average price of $5.17, market price $5.54, and as a reminder, market price is what people are actually buying for, average is what sellers are trying to sell at. This has a foil printing of the original Khans of Tarkir going for $23.25. Other printings that it has seen is none. This is the only printing of this card. Little fun facts here. All-time high of this card was actually on Friday at $5.17. All-time low, 59 cents back in 2017. Now, Garrett, why is Ugin's Nexus moving up in price? Legal in Pioneer, Modern, Legacy, Vintage, Commander, Oathbreaker, Explorer, Historic, Brawl, Timeless, and Penny.
I know I saw this one get brought up with one of the blue cards with the not the aftermath thingy for Junction. That's not really aftermath.
Oh, the vault.
Yeah, whatever that's actually called.
Yeah.
No, clearly this one's Penny. This one's gotta be Penny, Anthony. Penny or Timeless. But anyway, in all actuality, Commander, and it has something to do with one of those cards. Which one was it? Oh, the duplicator makes copies of things. Yeah, something to do with that. Commander, that. I don't have an actual commander, so I'm just going to say send triplets.
Okay.
Because it has blue in it.
Okay. Well, the odd thing is the article doesn't necessarily give the format, but the combo that it's talking about here is heavily implied for commander because with the other, because it is, yes, you're right with Esoteric Duplicator is the card. But they talk about Kirk Clan Ironworks, how those three cards just infinitely get you turns.
Yeah, that would make sense.
So, but as we all know, Kirk Clan Ironworks, not legal in Modern. It's banned, and it's not in Pioneer or Standard, so Legacy is there. I'll give you 0.75 points for that, because it doesn't even give, like, a commander. So.
Yeah. All right, cool.
0.75 points. Esoteric Duplicator, and a little note for that one, I guess. Read it here real quick. It's blue 1 artifact clue. When you sacrifice Esoteric Duplicator or another artifact, you may pay 2. If you do, at the beginning of the next end step, create a token that's a copy of that artifact, and then it also has 2 sack it, draw a card. So what happens is you have Esoteric Duplicator out, Kirk Clan Ironworks, and Ugin's Nexus. You sack the Ugin's Nexus to the Kirk Clan Ironworks to make the 2 mana. Use that 2 mana to pay for the Esoteric Duplicator ability that then is put on the stack to make a copy of that. Yes, the original Ugin's Nexus gets exiled, but it makes a token that's... I'll read it here again. Sacrifice another artifact, not a non-token artifact, any artifact, and you make a copy of it. So you get infinite turns there. So next card we have is Court of Vantress. For blue 2, you get an enchantment that came out in Wilds of Eldraine Commander deck. When Court of Vantress enters the battlefield, you become the Monarch. At the beginning of your upkeep, choose up to 1 target enchantment or artifact. If you're the Monarch, you may create a token that's a copy of it. If you're not a Monarch, you may have Court of Vantress become a copy of it, except it has this ability. Now, on Friday, this card jumped up 208% and was at $14.28. As of today, Monday the 15th, we have Court of Vantress going for $15.79. Average price, market price going for $14.83. Foil copies of this, because you can get them in the boosters, the collector boosters, $19.99. European average, €1.92. Again, it's only printed in the commander decks, but it does have a borderless version that is going for average $19.95. All-time high was this Saturday at $15.79. All-time low was back in September for $0.78. Now, why is Court of Vantress moving up in price, Garrett?
This one I actually know.
You do?
I do.
Let's see it.
Ariska, the... take extra upkeeps.
Eskra?
I'm saying her name wrong. I know
you are.
Is that it? Oh, Becca. There we go.
Okay.
Because she does the whole... when deals combat damage, you get, and I'm actually looking up the card.
Okay.
Because I know it's this one because all the courts do things on upkeep, and a lot of people have been talking about this one. So splitter of seconds. So you get extra upkeeps based off of damage.
Okay.
Commander.
Locked in?
Locked in.
Full Monty, baby. Not full Monty. Full point.
Yes.
Full point on that. Ubika, splitting seconds there, is the reason why. Yes, with the having
does
multiple...
Does it talk about any of the other ones, though?
It does. It also talks about Court of Embrith and Court of Ambition.
Are those ones going up, too?
They are. Court of Embrith is going for $8.90 on average, and Court of Ambition is going for $5.70. Court of... Embrith, it makes 3/1 knights, and then if you're the Monarch, it deals X damage to an opponent where X is the number of creatures you control. Ambition is beginning of your upkeep. Each opponent loses 3 life and discard a card. If you're the monarch, instead they lose 6 and discard 2. But not only that, there are another handful of cards that they want to tell you about right now. First up, big one, is Paradox Haze from Time Spiral. Quote here, and when we talk about upkeeps, there's another card that we certainly can't leave undiscussed. We're, of course, talking about the uncommon from Time Spiral, Paradox Haze. It grants extra upkeeps and fits in the color identity of Obika, making it a must-include when you want to play with her. It is 2 and a blue enchantment aura enchant player. At the beginning of enchanted player's first upkeep each turn, that player gets an additional upkeep step after this. So for things that matter on multiple upkeeps, that's what you do. So yeah, there you go. Full point for that one.
And I think the only reason I paid attention to that one when it was coming out is because I was going to make an Obeka deck during my 32.
Didn't you? You had the original. Were you
was
on,
going to
do the original Obeka,
yep.
Which ends the turn. Has the option to have a person end the turn.
Yep.
Okay. Next card we have is Rot Hulk. This is a black 5 zombie creature with menace that reads, when Rot Hulk enters the battlefield, return up to X target zombie cards from your graveyard to the battlefield, where X is the number of opponents you have. It is a 5/5. This has only been printed in the Game Nights box, the one that came out in 2022, because it doesn't have the year on it.
So I think it was the very first one.
No, it wasn't the first one. Second one or something.
Pretty sure.
It's the Game Night box.
Pretty sure there's only been the 2 Game Night boxes.
I think
it's
3 now, because they also have like.
I don't think the first one you're thinking of was Game Night.
Maybe that is the case then.
Yeah, or at least that's what I'm thinking.
So,
well, I know Zombies got a new Lord with Glissa, with her being a skeleton.
Can I tell you how much this moved up before you start guessing?
Oh, sorry.
Jumping the fucking gun here a little bit. Feeling a little froggy?
Sorry.
You good? You hasty? You hasty boy?
Yeah.
You want to be a little Regavan with dashed? Getting these answers?
No.
Rot Hulk is moving up.
I want to be an Akum Battle Singer.
It jumped up 45% on Friday and is sitting at $44.09. That's on Friday. So that card was already pricey before this jump happened. So $44.09 Friday. Today, Monday, average $45.54. Market price $28.53. So sellers are definitely like jumping on this more than what buyers are actually buying at. No foils of this because it's only printed in the box. Has a European average of €18.68. This card had an all-time high back at the beginning of April. Of this year, 2024, for $75.46, had an all-time low of $4.07 back November 15th of 2018. So 2018 is when it came out. Holy fuck. Maybe this was the first one then.
Yeah.
I stand corrected. You're right.
I don't know if I'm right. I just think they're, like the thing you're thinking of, I don't think it was actually called a Game Night box.
Yeah, that's probably it. They have a lot of different names for those.
Yeah.
So. Now, as you were saying.
Anyway, this is a zombie.
It is a zombie.
It does zombie things.
I'd say so.
It really cares about the number of opponents you have. So I'm going commander.
Okay.
Okay. And then I'm going to go with my Glissa guess because she's a lord. And anytime we get new lords and stuff, the things that they're a lord for go up a little bit. Especially when they do cool things.
Another full point.
Yes.
It is indeed.
I'm never going to get that fucking full Monty. God damn it.
You're so close there.
God damn it.
With the, Gissa Hellraiser is 3 for a 4/4 legendary human warlock, ward 2 and pay 2 life. Skeleton zombies get +1/+1. Whenever you commit a crime, which is targeting opponents, anything they control and or cards in their graveyard is a crime. You commit a crime, create 2 tapped 2/2 blue and black zombie rogue creature tokens. This ability only triggers once per turn. So when it enters, return up to X target zombie cards from your graveyard equal. Oh, no, it doesn't.
No, so the rot zombie just doesn't do much other than
it doesn't
than
target.
Gets you zombies back.
Yeah. It does say here that Gissa was printed and has sparked renewed interest in zombies. And back in October of 2021, there was a surge of zombie cards because of the Rot Cleave. Oh, will help, yep, the Rot Cleave. So there we go. Those are your weekly winners. Now, let's do a point tally.
While you're doing point tally, I will jump over for some cheap pickups.
Okay, right now, Garrett, you are at 2.75.
Nice.
For the start of this. Danny's at a solid 2.
Okay.
And I am at a 2.35 for this season.
Who would have thought? You're in the middle of the pack.
Oh, Anthony's not here yet, so.
That's what I'm getting at. Like, Anthony's not here and you're in the middle of the pack. Jeez.
I'm ready.
How long are you going to keep this going?
Q2 is my quarter.
You think so?
I know so.
You think so, huh? Oh,
I know so.
Well, wouldn't it just be a cruel celebration if you were wrong?
Oh, why do you say that?
Hey, speaking of cruel celebration, one of the cheap pickups is Cruel Celebrant, which is, this is the, specifically the Ixalan, or Lost Caverns and Ixalan Commander version. It's sitting at 47 cents and it's moving up. This brought to you by MTG Stocks Premium Penny Stocks feature. This looks at a card that's bottomed out and is starting to consistently move back up. And then number two, Infernal Tutor. 66 cents, and slowly moving down.
What are you looking at?
I'm just getting really confused for something. Like
Infernal Tutor?
Well, it's just like, why is, like, I get why the Cruel Celebrant is moving up and it's mentioned, but it's at this card's at 66 cents and slowly moving down.
Because it was a $6 card?
Yeah, but I mean, that was back. Why wouldn't they bring it up back then?
Well, because this is the printing of it from the Ravnica Remastered.
Yeah, and I get that, but I don't know. I'm just... It's been a while since I've done the cheap pickup side of things.
Well, here, I'm pulling up what
it's sitting at 66 cents and slowly moving down.
Original printing is from Dissension, and that has an average price of $5.35, market price of $5.60. Foils are going for $39.95, and it had an all-time high of $24.18, the Dissension printing. And the Dissension printing also is now at its all-time low of $5.35. So this is... just the cheaper version of this card.
Yeah, okay. The reason why I was looking at it more is because then our next one is the Zendikar... what was this printing called? Expedition.
Expeditions, yeah.
Blackleak Cliffs, sitting at $6.59 and slowly moving.
That one is wild.
So, there we go. There are your cheap pickups. But you know what, Matt? If you're looking to snipe out some cards, some TCG cards, you should head on over to our dear friends at TCG Sniper. They've got a wonderful resource that you can identify some cards, when to buy them, when to sell them, put them on a list, tell them when you want to get alerted, if price is going up, price is going down. You know, it's free.
After moments like that, you can tell yourself, good eye, Sniper. You shoot, I run. We'll see how many people get that reference. But yeah, TCG Sniper, they're fabulous.
If you say the guys at This Week in MTG sent you, they'll give you 3 months of their Plus membership for free.
Where does that get you?
Gets you unlimited listings.
Unlimited?
Whereas the free basic membership, it gets you 15, but I mean 15 to unlimited? Pretty good price difference, right?
Yeah. Arguably, yeah. I'd still say the free is good, just signing up.
Exactly. Like,
sign up, get the 3 months of the unlimited, play around with that. If you're very like card price savvy, do it up. Highly recommend. And then after that, just do the free. It's still a great service. They have things in the works, from my understanding, still. So 2024 could be a big year for them.
But yeah, that's the end of the show, man.
Do you have anything else you want to add before we hit the outro?
I got nothing. You know, hopefully I see you down, you folks down at NRG on Saturday in Minneapolis.
Yeah, see Big G. get some games in. Tell them that your allies are kicking butt.
I'm going to, I suppose I'm going to be the lone representative of the host.
Of the host,
so
yeah.
So I got to load up on stickers and things.
Are we out?
They're at my house.
Okay, good. Yeah. I was about to say, I'm pretty sure you grabbed them all from us.
Yep. They're at the house.
Perfect. So. Well, thank you to all you legendary magic folk for making it to the end of episode 227 of This Week in MTG. As we wrap another episode, we want to extend our deepest gratitude to our incredible listeners and Patreons. Your enthusiasm fuels our passion for all things Magic the Gathering, and we're honored to be a part of this vibrant community. Stay tuned for more exciting updates, discussions, and insights in the world of MTG. Until next time, may your mana be plentiful and your draws ever favorable. Keep gathering those magical moments.
Congratulations! You made it to the end of this week's episode of This Week in MTG. Your listenership means so much to us. Make sure to follow the podcast over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or on the podcatcher of your choice. You can watch the live stream recording of the podcast every Monday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time over on YouTube and twitch.com/thisweekinmtg. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can send us a message to our Facebook, Twitter, or send us an email at thisweekinmtg@gmail.com. For all these links and more, check out our link tree at linktr.ee/thisweekinmtg. Thanks so much!